That last song, I think, speaks to the very heart of God. When you sit here and declare that He is the lover of your soul, there's nothing that we have more to be thankful for than that. The fact that God was willing to give His own Son to die on the cross, that you and I might have life, and that we might have it abundantly, and be able to live the abundant life, be able to live it according to His plan and His purpose for us. So to me, it is a good day to be alive and to be reflecting again on the fact that it is Thanksgiving week, and I do not intend to share a message on Thanksgiving this morning. I felt God led me somewhere else with this. So, however, in all of it, we have so much to be thankful for. If you take a stop and a listen and a look around you at your own life and what you have and what you have been able to experience through the shed blood of Jesus and the ability we have to interact with Him because of the Father's love for us. And there's one thing we owe in return, is our love back to Him. And the question that I titled the sermon this morning is, do you have a tender heart? Do you have a tender heart? You know, Christmas isn't far around the corner, and my wife, I love her dearly, she gets excited about Christmas. And it's catching. It's something that I can get a hold of. I don't get that. Historically, I didn't get that overexcited about Christmas. You know, there's nothing that exciting about hanging lights up, setting a ladder up at the edge of the house with the risk of falling off the ladder and all that stuff. But you know what? I have a tender heart towards my wife. I have a tender heart towards what she loves and what she wants and what she enjoys. And I ask you this morning, those of you that are married here today, do you have a tender heart towards your spouse? Karen offers things to do sometimes that there's nothing within me that wants to do that. But you know what? When I see her enthusiasm and when I feel what she feels, I have a tender heart towards her, and I do it, and I do it joyfully because I want to, because of her heart. You see, that's having a tender heart towards her. My father had a tender heart towards wanting his family to get along with each other. My father grew up in a family that was at odds with each other, fighting a lot, and a lot of tension, a lot of stress. And you know, there was a time towards the end of my father's life that he made some choices that I didn't agree with, and I wasn't very tender-hearted towards him for the choices that he had made. And 4.5 years ago, I stood there and watched the life go from his body. And when I walked from that room, when I walked out of that room, I once again was tender-hearted towards him. You see, what he wanted was so simple. First, to get along. And it's not that we didn't, but it's just there was some tension between my father and I in some of the choices, like I said, that he had made. But all of a sudden, I was tender-hearted when his life had left him. And I believe our Heavenly Father today is wanting you and I to adopt a tender heart towards Him. That He will be able to say proudly that you are His son and that you are His daughter. And when we stop and we understand and we grasp the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father is that we would embrace Him and that in life we would embrace Him. The things that we do would honor Him. The things that we do would be because of Him. That there's nothing else. If there's nothing else to motivate you, just simply because it is the heart of your Father, your Heavenly Father, that today you would honor Him in the things that he calls us to honor him in. And I've chosen to read in Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7 is a scripture here that has spoke to my heart as I was studying and looking over the scripture. And it's not a book that we get to very often, but it did. In this case, it did speak to my heart as I thought about having a tender heart. And what does it mean to have a tender heart? And what are the consequences of not having a tender heart? And it's all wrapped up in this here passage of scripture here. It says like this, verse 1, "Now in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sharzer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and the seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, when you do not eat and drink for yourselves. Verse 7, should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of the hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts." And capture this verse. "Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or return, for they made the pleasant land desolate." And I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe, again, as we look at this scripture, that the heart of God is captured here. The heart of God is captured here in that I believe that what we do needs to be out of a heart of tenderness towards the Father. And bear in mind that question this morning as we go through this sermon: is your heart tender? Is your heart tender towards the Father? Is it the Father's requests that make you do what you do? Is it honoring Him that you do what you do? The setting here is kind of such in the way that it was after the 70 years that they were taken captivity. And then they were released, some of them at least, to go back and start to build the temple. And this was kind of in the middle of the building of the temple that this here word came to Zechariah. And the people, they sent out their men to inquire of the priests of some fasts that they had established during their time of captivity, where they went back. These fasts were such that they mourned and they wept because of the having been taken into captivity. They were not fasts and feasts that were required by God. It was something that they started doing and they kept doing throughout those 70 years. And now at this point, after they've been released from captivity and are going back, they're asking, are these things that we need to continue doing? So they send these men to the priests and they inquire, are these fasts, these feasts that we were doing, should we have to keep on doing them? And I thought about how so many things in life that we establish as being rituals, as we establish as being things that we feel like are things that have to be done, that are things that we need to do because it's something we've done for a long time. And there's kind of a pattern that's established. And then there's when it's drawn up beside the Father and the requirements of the Father, we may realize that these are some things that we've established that we're doing that really do not have any reflection on what God's heart is or what God wants. And I think it's important this morning that we understand that the things that we do, that we do them from a heart that is tender towards God, a heart that is tender towards the Father. I think one of the things that we'll recognize in this here scripture later on is that one of the things that it does when our hearts become hardened, and it says they became like flint. And when our hearts become hardened, it hinders our prayers. When our hearts are not tender towards God, it hinders our prayers. And there's one other passage in Scripture that talks about prayers being hindered, and that is in how a husband relates to his wife. If a husband is not relating to his wife in a proper way, his prayers are hindered. And here in this passage of Scripture, when we plug our ears and we will not listen and we do not heed, then our prayers are hindered. And so the thing that I think that stands out to me this morning that we need to hear is that when we plug up our ears, when God is speaking to us, when He is sharing with us, when He is giving us direction, and we plug our ears and we refuse to heed, it will hinder our prayers. So it's important, I believe, that we find that place where we have that tender heart towards God. In last week's message, Eric shared from Hebrews 12, and he stopped at verse 16, and verse 17 says this, "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Let me read it again. Esau and Jacob, and this was Esau's verdict. "For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." That is sobering, my friends. That is sobering this morning, to think that there is a place where though he sought it diligently, and understand, this was in the time before the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of Christ in us. I think we have more opportunity today than what they had then. But there is a time where I believe, according to this scripture as well, that when God continues to call on you and call on you and call on you and call you to repentance or call you to a place of understanding and following His word and His scripture, that He will stop calling to you. Some quotes from Matthew Henry says this, according to this, about this scripture, "There was a form of duty, but no life or soul or power in it. Holy exercises are to be done to God, looking to His word as our rule, His glory as our end, seeking to please Him and obtain His favor, but self was the center of their actions." Again, as he quotes here in this scripture, "When they fasted and mourned, they did it." He says, "Did you do it to me? Did you do it to me?" And then in verse 6 it says, "When you eat and when you drink, you do not eat and drink, you eat and drink for yourselves. When you eat and drink, you do not eat and drink for yourselves. When you do it, you should be doing it unto me. You're not doing it for yourself, but you're doing it unto me." Another quote from Matthew Henry says this, "Sin, if regarded in the heart, will certainly spoil the success of prayer. The Lord always hears the cry of the brokenhearted and penitent. Yet all who die impenitent and unbelieving will find no remedy or refuge from the miseries which while here they despised and defied, but with them, but which they will not be able to bear. The question I think we need to ask ourselves this morning is, am I being indifferent towards God's word? Am I being indifferent towards the instruction that God is giving me? Am I being indifferent? Because indifference will lead to a hardened heart. Indifference will lead to a hardened heart. According to Romans 11, verse 23, and I'm going to read that. Romans 11, 20 and 23 says this. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue, in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. And some other scriptures here says in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as the Son of God over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope from the firm to the end. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So there is scripture that speaks to this possibility that we are able at some point to harden our hearts to the point where God doesn't speak to us anymore. And so I believe that's what God wants us to hear this morning, is that we understand that there is a place where we can step into that place where God, you can cry out and God doesn't hear. How about you this morning? Are the things you're doing, are they for the right reason? Do you serve and worship and live for the right reason? Is it just a ritual? Is it just something you do this morning? Or is it actually out of a heart of tenderness towards God that you open up your Bible and you read the inspired word of God? Is it out of a tenderness of heart towards, that's what God wants for me, and I'm going to do it with all my heart? Do you enter into a time of prayer with a tender-heartedness towards the Father? Even though you may not have time today, you stop and you take time, because in the tenderness of your heart, out of the tenderness of that heart, you do it for the Father. Do you witness and share Christ with other people, even though it's difficult and scary and you feel like you don't have words to share? Do you do it out of a tenderness of your heart, because God's heart is for other people to be saved, for the unsaved people to be saved? Is it out of a tenderness of your heart towards God that you reach out and share the gospel message with those people that are lost and dying around you? I ask you this morning, is it from a tender heart, or is it just a ritual that you go through? See, I believe it is really, really important to God that it is out of a tender heart that we are doing these things for Him. So they were taken out of captivity. They asked the question, do we have to follow these here fasts and feasts and rituals and stuff that we were doing? And God's response to them is this. And then the word of the Lord in verse 4. The word of the Lord of the hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during these 70 years, did you really fast for me? for me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? So again, going back to the fact that these people were doing these things, they were going through these rituals, they were having these fasts and these here feasts that they had, and yet, deep down inside their hearts, they were not following the will of God. And I ask you this morning, if in the midst of the things that you're doing, if in the midst of your Bible reading, in the midst of your prayer, in the midst of your worship, in the midst of your outreach, are you being obedient to the Word of God? Because here's God's response. Verse 7, should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous? And I ask you this morning, are you still at that place where your life in Jesus Christ is inhabited and prosperous? Are you at that place where your life in Jesus Christ is inhabited and prosperous? Because now is the time. Now is the time to be obedient to His word, to His call, to His statutes that He has established for you and I to follow. It is today when we are inhabited and are prosperous in Jesus Christ, because there can come a time, there will come a time, if we continue to harden our hearts towards the call of God and the message of God, that He will stop calling to you and I. That's Scripture. That's not me. And He said, the south and the lowland were inhabited. And then it goes on in verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah and said, thus says the Lord of hosts. What is it that you and I are called to do? What is it that God wants for us? What is it that the heart of God is? It is that we execute true justice. I believe it is imperative that the people of God are able to execute true justice. There should not be a wavering. There should not be a faulty justice that is metered out by the people of God, but that we would execute true justice. And the other thing that he goes on here in verse 8 is this. It says, show mercy and compassion. And I ask you this morning, you may be able to read your Bible. You may be able to pray. You may be able to worship. You may be able to reach out and witness. But I ask you this morning, are you showing mercy and compassion? Are you executing true justice? And he goes on, he says, everyone to his brother. So this here is something that is to happen within the congregation before it goes outside the walls. It happens here, and then we take it out. Are we showing everyone to his brother mercy and compassion? And the scripture goes on in verse 10, it says, do not oppress the widow and the fatherless. I ask you this morning, are we oppressing the widows and the fatherless? Are we opening our hearts and our hands and our the tenderness of our heart to the widows and the orphans, the fatherless? And here's the kicker. It says, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien. We have all heard a lot of conversation the last couple of weeks about people, refugees coming into this here land of America. And I understand from a kingdom of this world standpoint, being separate from a kingdom of God standpoint, I understand why the kingdoms of this world don't want to bring a bunch of people into this here land. But I am here to tell you, as children of God, I believe that there is no place for kingdom of God people to close our hearts, to close our hands, to close our things to people who are needy and in need. And I lay aside the refugees. Let's talk about the people that are in our cities right around us daily, who are destitute of food, who are hungry, who are thirsty, who have need of clothing. And we close our hearts to the alien. I ask you this morning, if America becomes so full that people are standing shoulder to shoulder and your front yard is the only thing that is left that is open anymore for people to stand in, are you willing to give up your front yard for people to stand in and give them food or a place to sleep or a place to lay their head down? I'm here this morning to ask you again, is your heart tender-hearted towards the Father? Because the Father's heart is tender-hearted towards the widow, the orphan, the alien, the poor. And I ask you, are you able to read your Bible this morning and feel good about yourself? Are you able to pray and feel good about yourself? Are you able to worship and witness and all those kinds of things when there's someone you know who is destitute of food, who is hungry, who has nowhere to lay down his head, has nowhere to stand, has no place to call his own, and we close up our bowels of mercy to those people? Do you feel the heart of the Father? Do you feel the heart of the Father? Because I believe that our prayers are going to be hindered if we are unwilling to give exercise or give honor to the things that he has called out here. In verse 10, it goes on, it says, let none of you plan evil in his heart against who? His brother, your sister. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother and sister. And again, I'm here to remind you this morning that if you are able to regard evil in your heart towards your brother and sister, and then get on your knees before God and pray and ask God to bless you, ask God to move you forward, ask God to give you direction when you have hidden in your heart unforgiveness towards a brother or sister in the Lord. It's talking about a brother or sister. It's inside these walls. If we are able to harbor evil in our hearts towards our brother and sister and come before the Father and beg of Him to hear from us, I assure you this morning, it will not happen. And let me read you some verses. The words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says this, and whenever you stand praying, okay, you get the picture. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, period. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. See, here's the consequences. If we can't forgive each other, then the Heavenly Father will not forgive our trespasses either. So I'm here to share with you this morning again to remind you, do you have a tender heart towards the Father? Is the Father's heart your heart? Are you tender-hearted towards the Father? Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. If there is someone this morning that you know in your heart, that you would have a hard time shaking their hand, that you would have a hard time, and many of us, probably all of us, have something in our hearts, some have harbored something that someone has done to us, that someone that has wounded us. And we're going to hold on to the right to be hurt and to not forgive, because somehow it ministers to our fleshly spirit. So I am here this morning encouraging you to feel the heart of the Father. To feel the heart of the Father. And forgive. And forgive quickly because of the consequences that will happen if we do not. You know who it is. You may have a father. You may have a mother that has done you wrong, that has rightfully wronged you. But you can't find it in your heart to forgive them. Then neither will the Father find it in his heart to forgive your trespasses. That's not my words. That's the Bible. So I believe that the heart of the Father is this. And as you rub shoulders with people, whether it be your family, whether it be at church, whether it be at school, wherever it is at, whether it's at work or wherever it is, when you're rubbing shoulders with people, people will brush you the wrong way. And there will be times that people, I assure you, and you all know this, you've had it happen. There have been times that something was said that just, ooh, that went deep. And now the choice is mine. Do I embrace it or do I forgive them? When you embrace, you hold it in. When you forgive, you let it out. It's that simple. And please hear me. I do not intend this to be harsh. But what I do intend is that all of us would be able to be all that God wants us to be. And I believe that it is the Father's heart that when we have been wounded, when we have been hurt, we need to open our hands. We need to open our hands and we need to do it quickly. Because I believe if we don't forgive and we hold on, there will come to that point where you may not be able, where you cry out to the Father and say, Father, I want to be relieved of this bondage, this that I'm carrying. I believe there will come a point where it's going to be really difficult to let it go because it's become so much a part of me. I've embraced it. I've made it part of me. I've taken the woundedness and I've embraced it until it is such a part of me that my heart has become like flint and God can't speak to me. Even though I cry out for him to, he can't speak to me. It says in verse 11, but they refused to heed. They refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders. It's, so what? I hear you, but so what? Maybe you have a different definition of shrugging shoulders. They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear. And so that they could not hear, they stopped their ears so that they could not hear. And then in verse 12, yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of the hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts, and therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, they would not hear, and so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. Here's a quote from David Guzik. It says this, there is no need to observe the sad anniversaries of our sins and their accompanying punishments. If once we are assured of God's free forgiveness, when he forgives and restores, the need for dwelling on the bitter past is over. Too many of us are always dwelling beside the graves of the dead past. When we forgive, when he forgives and restores, he's talking about the Heavenly Father. When he forgives and restores, the need for dwelling on the bitter past is over. Too many of us are always dwelling beside the graves of the dead past. And so I'm here to assure you this morning that when God calls to you, and he says, Luke, you're holding on forgiveness in your heart towards so-and-so. And I say, yeah, but it feels pretty good, Lord. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to heed to it. In fact, I'm going to plug my ears. I just, you know what they did to me? Do you understand what they did to me? How can I let that go? Face it, friends, I know that probably each and every one of us has been at that place. And when we continue to refuse to hear, and we continue to do our prayer and our Bible reading and our worship and our ministering, our reaching out, just doing it as a ritual, not as a tender-heartedness towards God, because God wants our hearts to be tender to him. And to do it out of a heart that is tender towards him. Same with forgiving and not holding. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Yes, it says in verse 12, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of the hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. So I'm here to call you this morning as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted towards the Father. Be tender-hearted towards the Father. Do you have a tender heart? Is your heart open to Him? Or is there things that you're simply doing it because your father did it, your family did it, everybody else is doing it? Or do you really truly embrace God's heart? Execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Those are things that we can do. Those are things that we can do. They're not that difficult. But we find it difficult to do when we don't focus on making our hearts tender towards the Father. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to be able to enter into this here time of looking into your word. Father, I pray that the words that are shared, the scripture that is shared, Lord, would be protected, and that the enemy would not be able to steal it from our hearts, and that we would be able to honor you in the things that we do, Father. I pray that our Bible reading would become vibrant. I pray that our worship and our prayer would become such, Lord, that is out of a heart of tenderness towards you, because we want to. That's why we do it, not because we have to. Lord, I pray that you would establish our hearts in such a way that we would be able to execute true justice. And Lord, that we would be able to show mercy and compassion to our brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, that you would help us to not oppress the widow and the orphan and the alien and the poor. Help us, Lord, to see these people through your eyes. Help us to get a hold of that everyone, every person that we come in contact with is something that you value, is someone that you value, no matter who they are. So, Father, again this morning, I pray for wisdom. Lord, I pray for the freedom to be able to forgive where we need to forgive. I pray for open eyes to be able to see the needs that are around us, that are real close. Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding to be able to execute true justice. And Lord, that you alone would receive the honor and the glory. And today, your kingdom would be a better place because of your leading and guiding in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you. I ask the chorister to come and lead us in song.